उदाहृष्यन् बरीजानि सूर्योत्थानिकमुद्विना राज्ञथु निर्भया लोका यथा दस्युन् विना नृपा. O King Parikshit, when the autumn sun rose, all the lotus flowers blossomed happily, except the night-blooming kumut. Just as in the presence of a strong ruler, everyone becomes fearless, except the thieves. Puragrameshwagram jnanayar indriyaischa mahotsavai babho bhu pakvasashyadya kalabhyam nitaram hare. In all the towns and villages, people held great festivals, performing the Vedic fire sacrifice for honoring and tasting the first grains of the new harvest, along with similar celebrations that followed local custom and tradition. Thus the earth, rich with newly grown grain and especially beautified by the presence of Krishna and Balaram, shone beautifully as an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Purport. The word Agrayanai refers to a particular authorized Vedic sacrifice. And the word Indriyai refers to folk ceremonies that have somewhat worldly objectives. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. During autumn, the fields become filled with ripened grains. At that time, the people become happy over the harvest and observe various ceremonies such as Navana, the offering of new grains to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The new grains are first offered to the deities in various temples, and all are invited to take sweet rice made with these new grains. There are other religious ceremonies and methods of worship, particularly in Bengal, where the greatest of all such ceremonies is held, called Durga Puja. Banin muni nripasnata nirgyamaratan prapedare varsha rudha yatha siddha swapindan kala agate. The merchants, sages, kings, and brahmachari students kept in by the rain were at last free to go out and attain their desired objects, just as those who achieve perfection in this life can, when the proper time comes, leave the material body and attain their respective forms. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments. In Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram. The mercantile community, the royal order, and the great sages were free to move to achieve their desired benedictions. Similarly, the transcendentalists, when freed from the encagement of the material body, also achieved their desired goal. During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another, and so do not get their desired profit. Nor can the royal order go from place to place to collect taxes from the people. As for saintly persons who must travel to preach transcendental knowledge, they also are restrained by the rainy season. But during the autumn season, all of them leave their confines. In the case of the transcendentalist, be he a jnani, a yogi, or a devotee, because of the material body, he cannot actually enjoy spiritual achievement. But as soon as he gives up the body, or after death, the jnani merges into the spiritual effulgence of the Lord. The yogi transfers himself to various higher planets, and the devotee goes to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan, or the Vaikunthas, and thus enjoys his eternal spiritual life. Thus send the purports of the humble servant of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Rainy Season and Autumn in Vrindavan.
previous acharyas. Have given us this very wonderful explanation of the perfection of spiritual life in the term that is commonly used by us to go back home, back home, back to Godhead. Did you ever think really what this means? When a traveler is weary, he's always anxious to return to home. Home means where our family is, people who love us, people who trust us. It is a place where we are comfortable, happy. It is a place where we feel most natural. This world is a foreign place for the soul. As it is said, we are like strangers in a foreign land. And in this strange and foreign place that we call home, there are so many misfortunes, so many confusions, so many unnatural conditions. And the greatest illusion is that we want to hold on to it. We do not want to give it up. The fact is that all our sufferings and miseries are because we are identifying with this material body. It is the cause of all pain. And yet our condition is that we do not want to give up this material body. We'll do anything to preserve it and to maintain it. We'll commit any type of atrocious activity to somehow or other increase its duration of life. And within this body, we try to create home. We try to create a wonderful, comfortable situation, which of course is not possible. Not for long. It is said in the Bible by Lord Jesus that this world, it is a bridge. We should cross over it, but we should build no house upon it. A bridge is only meant for one purpose, to bring you from one side to the other side. It is not a place to stop. It is not a place to try to make a permanent residence and life for yourself. So this human form of life is a bridge. It is the bridge that takes us from the land of illusion, from the land of attachment, and from the land of birth and death to our true home, the land of eternal life, the land of love, the land of Krishna. And we should use this bridge for its purpose. And what is its purpose? That we continue to go forward on it. But unfortunately, our foolishness is we spent, the average man in this world, spends his entire life simply trying to create a permanent situation upon this bridge. Trying to hold on to this illusion as long as possible. trying to call this foreign land in which the soul is eternally a stranger, trying to make it into a nice home. But it is not possible. However much we endeavor, in due course of time, we are frustrated. We are kicked out. So this is the difference between death for a self-realized soul and death for a worldly person. For a worldly person, death means the end, the conclusion. When we are kicked out of our home, when we are stripped away from our family members, when we are ripped away from all of our friends and all of our wealth and all that we have given our life to. But for a devotee, death means to taste the sweet fruit of everything we've given our life to. Not to lose it, but to gain it. Death does not mean to be stripped away from home. Death means to return home. To finally be through with this tiresome, tiresome, frustrating journey into this foreign land and return home. Death does not mean to be stripped away from family members and loved ones. Death means to return to our eternal, true, pure family members and loved ones. So therefore, a devotee welcomes life and welcomes death. You see, in this world, we have our business. We have our duties to perform. And we're anxious to do it simply for the pleasure of Krishna. But we are not attached to these things. Why don't you just leave that door open? She wants to become Jayan Vijay, guarding the door of Vaikuntha. Radha Priya is like four Kumaras, but luckily she let her in this time. So, it is said in Gita, Yanisha Sarababhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami Yasyam Jagarati Bhutani Shanisha Pashyatomuni. That what is night for the conditioned soul is day for the devotee. Asochanan vasochas tvam pragyabadam shakashate gatasma gatasam sa nanu sochanti panditaha. Krishna tells Arjuna that although you are speaking like a wise man, you are actually a great fool. Because you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation. A wise man laments not for life or death. He knows that the soul is eternal. If there's one thing that we lament with a piteous heart, it is when a person dies without having utilized his life to attain the Supreme God Consciousness. Yo va etarakshadam gargya buditlashma praiti shakripana. Such a miserly person has given up the chance for self-realization and has died like the dogs and cats. There's nothing to lament for someone who has cultivated Krishna consciousness. Death for such a person simply means one step closer home, back to Godhead. But we should certainly weep tears of sorrow
for someone who has not utilized his life for Krishna consciousness. Because for him, death means being cast deeper into a darker place within this foreign land, farther and farther and farther from our home with Krishna. So it is explained here that just as merchants, agents, and kings, and brahmacharis, how they, during the rainy season, they are very much isolated in one place. They cannot do their business properly. They cannot move about properly. They are very much confined. The weather creates like a prison for us. But when the autumn season comes, the most beautiful, the most refreshing of all seasons, when the rain stops and all the grains begin to grow and the harvest, this is compared to death. Such a wonderful example. The autumn season is the most auspicious of all seasons because it is in the autumn that the fruit of the whole year can be enjoyed. In the agricultural fields, in the springtime, the farmers work so hard to plant their seeds. And in the rainy season, although it is terribly inconvenient, it is necessary to water those seeds. And it is in the autumn season that all of the grains, all of the fruits, all of the vegetables, everything is fully ripe and ready to offer to Krishna. And it is the grains that is harvested in the autumn that are stored through all the other seasons to give life. So therefore, autumn season signifies life, signifies opulence and wealth. It is being explained here that in many villages, they have wonderful, wonderful, wonderful festivals, the biggest, most glorious festivals of the year, when the first grains are first harvested. And they bring those grains to the temple before Krishna and offer it to him. Recently, we were in Udupi, and this is the biggest festival of the year for Udupi Krishna, the day of the picking of the first grains. Thousands upon thousands of people come with their grains that they just harvested from their own farms, and they bring and offer large quantities. They offer it to Krishna. And those grains are used to cook bhoga for the deity, and then it is distributed for months afterward, throughout the year afterward, as mahaprasad for all the world to benefit from. There's wonderful pujas. In fact, there's only one day of the year that certain darshans that day are only found on that one day in the whole year, where they opened the back door of Udupi Krishna, where originally he was facing that direction. They only do that once a year, on that auspicious day of the offering of first grains. It is the day of life. It's the day of sustenance. It's a great celebration. And all of the great austerities through the rainy season, through the spring season, they fructify during the autumn. And that is when the real celebration takes place. But here Shukadeva Goswami explains that the autumn season, this most festive, celebrated of all times, the time of life, is compared to death. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. This is the difference between Shukadev Goswami's vision and a materialistic person's vision. For Shukadev Goswami, death is the most celebrated time of life. Death is the time of life. Death is when we go back home. We go back to our real family. We go back to Krishna. No more disturbances, no more austerities, no more sacrifices. Simply enjoy the comforts of your eternal home in Goloka, in Vaikuntha, the place of no anxieties. And life is like the spring season and rainy season, where we have to work very hard to cultivate. And then we have to undergo tremendous amount of tolerance as the rains come down. The rains of happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, all of these conditions, which actually, if we are in Krishna consciousness, they help the seed of bhakti grow. So in this way, a devotee is peaceful. A devotee is joyful. A devotee is fearless. Because really, there's only one fear in this world, and that is fear of death. And all other fears are corollary, supplementary to that, part and parcel. But ultimately, everyone is very much afraid of death. We're afraid of death to our prestige, death to our material sense enjoyment, death to our fortune, and ultimately, death to this body. But for a devotee, he knows there is no death. Death is simply when the door opens and Krishna says, "Welcome home." Huh? It's like when you go after a long, long journey. You're lonely for your mother's home cooking and to see your family again. And you come and you knock on the door and the door opens and your family says, "Welcome home." To a devotee, this is what death is. Throughout our life, we're knocking on the door. "Let me in, let me in. Krishna, let me in. I want to come in." That's a devotee's life. For a person who's not a devotee, he doesn't knock on that door. He's knocking on all other doors. Everyone else's door. In your home, you'll never be kicked out. But in other people's homes, they'll let you stay for some time, but then they get tired of you and say, "Get out of here. Why are you here so long?" Huh? So similarly, we can knock on so many doors in so many places. Birth after birth after birth, we've been knocking on doors, this family, that family, another family, and every time, ultimately, we get kicked out. On the street again. This body, that body, another body, kicked out. But when we knock on the door of Vaikuntha, by practicing sadhana bhakti, by engaging in devotional service, ultimately Krishna opens that door. And Krishna and Sri Radharani and all the gopas and all the gopis, with wonderful smiling faces, they say, "Welcome home." And there's a wonderful celebration. This is death. Death means life, and life means death. Huh? Therefore, it is said, "Die before you die." Until we die to all of these illusions and all of this false prestige and all of these attachments, if we can die in that way before we physically die, then we attain eternal life. There is no death. But in this world, the saying is, "Live before you die." Try to accumulate as much as you can. Try to enjoy as much as you can, because you do not know what will death bring. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow may never come. Huh? This is the saying of those who are in ignorance. But a devotee has faith. A devotee has understanding. And ultimately, a devotee must have realization. When Sri Ramanujacharya was on his deathbed, his disciples were all around him weeping and crying. "You're going to leave us." And Ramanujacharya just looked at them. And essentially he said, "I should be crying for you." "I'm going back to Vaikuntha, where there's no more suffering, no more problems, life, wonderful life. And you have to stay here." "I should be crying for you, not you crying for me." "Why you are crying? Just chant Hare Krishna. Chant the names of Narayan." This is realization. And Srila Prabhupada, he had a mission. Ramanujacharya, of course, lived well over 100 years. He maintained his body as well as possible for his mission. But his mission was an austerity. Ultimately, death meant for him, God is saying, "All right, you have struggled long enough, come home. Huh? You have struggled for me." Similarly, our Guru Maharaj, how much he struggled, how much pain he endured to serve the Lord by showing mercy to others. And he was willing to do it forever if it was Krishna's desire. But it was an austerity. And when Krishna gave him the indication, sent him the transcendental telegram, "Prabhupada, come home." Then Prabhupada said, "All right, take me to Vrindavan." He said, "Krishna and Balaram are telling me to come home." So he went to Vrindavan, and he was doing his seva up until the last breath. But he was telling us that no need for you to be confused. Krishna's calling me back home. And very comfortably, he was just laying in his wonderful quarters in Brajbhumi with devotees all around chanting Hare Krishna. And he simply said Hare Krishna and went back home, back to Godhead. Huh? No fear, no regrets, no anxieties. We were crying because we're without him. But his only sorrow was that he had to leave us here, because we weren't ready to join him yet. That was his only sorrow. His sorrow was not, "I'm losing my life, I'm losing my body, look at all, I have 108 temples, they're mine. I'm being taken away from them." No, everything is Krishna's. They are all the property of Guru and Krishna. But the door is opening to Goloka Vrindavan for me, and I want to take all of you with me. But you're not ready. Please come join me. Essentially, that was his last message. Work together, cooperate together. Show your love for me by how you unite and cooperate, because through this process, you will soon come to join me with Krishna. So this is the wonderful, wonderful analogy that is being given here in Srimad Bhagavatam. And by understanding this, there is real peace. There is real truth in our life. We should strive with every possible moment to prepare ourselves for this journey home back to Godhood. By engaging in the wonderful process of devotional service, by carefully hearing the message of the spiritual master and following them, by carefully serving the Vaishnavas in a spirit of humility, respectfulness, and devotion, and by very, very carefully and attentively, according to the vows we have taken, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And by performing this simple and sublime process, we can experience the eternal truths of Krishna's love in this life. And we can joyfully engage in his loving service, in his wonderful mission, with our every breath. And we have something wonderful to look forward to: the moment of death. A devotee looks forward to every moment. Every moment in this life and beyond. Because a devotee has that faith that in my life, if I have surrendered to Krishna, Krishna is there, Krishna is everywhere to protect me, to guide me, and to bring me closer to his lotus feet. So in this way, if we simply, with a sincere heart, engage in this wonderful, wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, learn to be the servant of the servant of the servant and chant Krishna's holy names, our future is guaranteed to return back home, back to Godhood. Is there any questions?
Since Maharaj, you are saying that it's a bridge for us, we have to cross this bridge. And we should have that consciousness in our mind that we should not think that this is a permanent place for us. And if we try also, okay, we'll not do anything here as a permanent way. We strive for it, and little bit of service which we have to do as a practical purpose, we do for it. But in the process, whatever we are spending our time here and there, doing some business or this or that, just to maintain ourselves, during the process, we have that consciousness in our mind that we have to go back to Godhead. But in the process, Maharaj, we know it, that we are just striving ourselves to get out this lust, greed, envy, pride. But we know it, that in our last breath, up to last breath, it is not going to go. We just have to go on striving ourselves. So when our death will be coming at our last test, how can we test ourselves that we will be getting, we will be going back to Godhead, and we will not be here, or we will be having one birth once again into this material world? How to test ourselves on the deathbed that we'll be going back to Godhead, or we'll be coming once again over here? Because this lust, greed, envy, pride is not going to go altogether from this up to the last breath of our life.
Going back to Godhead is not within your power. To take you, it's God's power. You simply concern yourself with one thing: pleasing Krishna through everything you do. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi, dhyayam stuvam stasya yasya si sandhyam, vande guru sri charanaravindam. If we please our Gurudev, which means to please the Vaishnavas, then we know that Krishna is pleased. If we are carefully and sincerely following his instructions, we know that Krishna is pleased. If Krishna is pleased, he carries us back home, back to Godhead, despite all of our defects and disqualifications. Just try to please Krishna in every aspect of your life. Just carefully follow the instructions of the previous acharyas and your Guru Maharaj. That is all you have to concern yourself with. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyo. If you surrender in this way, Krishna will take you back by His grace. Not by your efforts, but by His grace. Just try to concentrate at all times, how can I please my Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnavas? And it is easy to understand how to please them. Simply by carefully endeavoring at every moment to remain faithful to their instructions. Is there any other questions? This you can do?
It's said that for the devotees, death even means like a, it's a joyful thing. But it so happens that among the devotees also, sometimes when you see someone suffering, or when you find there is some death in some of the devotees' family also, you feel concerned for it. That feeling always comes. Is it because we are attached on a material platform or what?
For a devotee, death is joyful for him, however it may come. There's no such thing as auspicious or inauspicious for a devotee. Everything is auspicious. For one who is giving his life to Krishna consciousness, everything is auspicious. There's no question that, oh, this was inauspicious death, this was auspicious death. However it may come, the externals mean nothing. It is auspicious. So therefore, for such a devotee, there is a celebration. In fact, among sadhus, they weep not for the person, but for themselves. He's gone home and left us in this strange place. It's not fair. Why has he left us alone here in this crazy world? We're not crying that he had to leave the world. We're crying that we have to stay here. Without such a wonderful friend and inspiration. That is why we weep. And we should weep when a devotee leaves us. If we do not weep in this mood, that means we have hard hearts. But we're weeping out of love for him, in separation for him, but not in sorrow for him. The weeping of separation, the crying of love, is different than the crying of sorrow. When a materialist sees death, he simply weeps out of sorrow. When a devotee sees death, he weeps out of love. It's a celebration of tears. Just like when a great devotee comes, we celebrate by offering flowers. And when he leaves, we celebrate by shedding tears. But it is a celebration of love, of hope. Of course, we see when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, when they left this world, Rupa and Sanatan, how the Brijvasis, how Lokanath Goswami, how Srinivas Acharya, how they wept. But their weeping was the highest realms of spiritual ecstasy, because it was divine separation. It was not sorrow. So in the same way, we must learn how to do everything properly. The spiritual master teaches us the proper way to eat, the proper way to evacuate, the proper way to sleep, the proper way to take bath, the proper way to associate with other beings. The spiritual master teaches us the proper way of every aspect of our life, including the proper way to cry. We've been doing all these things throughout our life, but not the correct way. Not with the proper understanding and feeling. And when somebody else is suffering, even under illusion, terribly, sometimes a devotee may cry out of sympathy for that person, but not in vain. Out of that sympathy, a devotee is not like materialistic people, they just try to cheer someone up. Huh? But what good is that? How are you helping that person? If a devotee feels real sympathy for someone suffering, he tries to elevate that person and bring him up. That is love, that is compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crying to see the conditions of all the fallen souls suffering the repetition of birth and death. It brought tears to his eyes. Vasudev Dutt, he was weeping tears, seeing the illusion of this world. He prayed, "My Lord, let them all go back to Godhead. Let me suffer in hell forever and take all their sins. But I can't bear seeing them suffering anymore." Huh? This type of lamentation is not out of ignorance and selfishness and illusion. This type of lamentation is out of love and compassion. It is a form of ecstasy. But there is positive seva being performed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was weeping to see the conditioned souls, but he came down and gave his life to deliver them the holy name. Vasudev Dutt was seeing the condition of the conditioned souls, but he didn't just uselessly feel sorry for them. He was willing to go to hell for them. This is a devotee's consciousness. Yes, we feel sorrow when we see someone suffering, but our sorrow is not material. It should not be. Our sorrow should be, how can I lift this person out of this suffering condition and give them Krishna? Is there any other questions?
Our consciousness should be the same when you see the devotee suffering and the materialist suffering. When the materialistic person, when he suffers, and when a devotee is suffering, what should be our approach to both of them?
Our approach to both of them should be their well-wisher, their friend. Try to elevate them. Try to bring them closer to Krishna, to once and for all alleviate all suffering. Oftentimes suffering is a very, very good method that Krishna uses to bring us closer to Him. So we try, Krishna's putting the person on the path and we try to push him forward. But for a devotee, we can have this intimate relationship to share his sorrows and help him come closer to Krishna, because he's willing to open his heart and mind and receive our love. Huh? For a materialist, we obviously have the same type of compassion, but there cannot be the same intimacy. Such a person is giving his life in the loving service of the Lord, and such a great personality who's doing so much, sacrificing so much in a suffering condition, more than anyone, we should try to help that person in any way possible that we can. Huh? there any other questions? Yes.
Today's situation, Bombay is becoming like Calcutta, and I have heard many of our God brothers also, they are very much disturbed sometimes, they are staying in suburb, particularly night time, they can't sleep, and they are being very anxiety, and as Devamitra was saying yesterday, this is going to be the regular feature of Bombay. So how we devotees should take the present situation, because the way is thousands of people have died, though government may be saying 600, and lakhs of people are injured, and lakhs of people are leaving Bombay. So in this situation, how devotees should act in presently?
Devotee must see the positive opportunity that is being given by God in every situation of life. The positive opportunity that we should know, we should be conscious that it is a reality that death can come upon us at any moment. So we should be very, very serious about our sadhana and our spiritual life. We should not be complacent. At the same time, we should see the sufferings of others and understand how much they are in desperate need, individually and collectively, for understanding truth. Understanding what is peace and what is Krishna, how much they need relief, and how much we should increase our endeavor to reach out to them and give them the only real relief that there is, which is shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So it should make us stronger, it should make us more united, and it should make us more enthusiastic to be the servant and the brother or sister of all of these suffering souls. Because actually, you read Srila Bhaktipada's book, Spiritual Warfare, that this world is a battleground. And here in Bombay, people are beginning to realize it. So let us try to help them with the real help that is needed. We should be willing to make great sacrifices for this cause. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in his last months on this world, where his body was in such a sickly condition, incredibly sickly condition, still he wanted to go out and travel and preach. And when the devotees tried to dissuade him, he said, "Let me die in the battlefield, fighting for Krishna." So we should welcome the opportunity that is here. Because only in God consciousness can there be peace. And by the grace of Krishna and by the mercy of Guru, you have that message and you have that way by which anyone can find peace. Don't keep it for yourself. The world is starving for it. Let us all join together and deliver this wonderful glory of Krishna's mercy to everyone. And some will hear and some will not.
but it is our duty to offer it to everyone. Just as it has been so mercifully offered to us. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.